Hey, this is Phil Canizo, lead pastor at Hope City Church. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. My prayer is that this helps and encourages you, gives you some practical ways to live out your faith, and ultimately fills you with hope. Enjoy the message.
My wife, she thought it was funny that I was the one actually tackling the topic that we're going after today, that's procrastination. And I kind of feel like this is a bit of a trap that she somehow set up, because if I've got to talk about it, then there's a lot of things I probably have to deal with. See, my wife and I have this cute thing where we do that. Catherine, basically, she decides on a house project, you know, new floors. Hey, Thomas, let's redo the kids' bedrooms, or landscaping. Let's put saw down so the kids aren't playing in dirt anymore. Spoiled much? And I'm like, babe, I'll get to it a little bit later. And of course, she quips back, well, when? Like a year from now? And 2 years later, well, it's still not done. And we laugh and we laugh and we hug and we do it all over again. And our love grows deeper for each other every single time this happens. Well, in my head, that is. Catherine, on the other hand, hasn't actually really yet laughed about it. So it kind of looks like I'm not the only one procrastinating in our marriage, right? But, you know, to be fair, there are some things that are actually okay procrastinating on. Like, these are things that won't change the course of your life in a major way. Like, for example, doing the dishes. Now, should they be done? Of course, but it's not gonna change your life in a dramatic way if you don't do them right now. Or, you know, waiting one more day to fill your gas tank in your vehicle. Or maybe you're the person who still has those Blockbuster video rentals in your basement. And really, you're thinking, I kind of won this one because now they're closed and I get to keep them. Or that window that my wife wants in the side of our house. Now, if that sounds very specific, it's because, well, I know she's watching. And it's not going to change our life if we don't actually really get to that right now. But we all know, right? Like, despite all of us doing it, there are some things that we really shouldn't procrastinate on, especially when it comes to our spiritual lives, specifically when we know that God is calling us to a next. See, James, he's the brother-in-law of Jesus, and he actually wrote a book in the New Testament called James, and he says it best. He says this, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves." Now, maybe you've been engaging with us through January, and you were moved by God to respond to maybe Pastor Ken's challenge to identify one area that you need to change in your life that opens up the door for God to make a huge transformation in your own life. Or Pastor Phil's challenges to make decisions that would bring you closer to Christ-likeness, or to share with someone the hope you have in Jesus Christ. Or last week's incredible challenge to begin training for godliness. Like to choose a spiritual discipline, prayer or reading the Bible or some silence and solitude. Maybe it's to practice fasting that and to kind of stick with that discipline. Or it could be that you're actually watching us for the first time, but you too kind of came into January feeling like many of us that God is calling you to something specific. You know, to make the most of what he wants to do in your life this year. Like he's drawing you forward, like I said, into a next for you. But, well, it's January 31st. And to be blunt, maybe you've put it off. Maybe you've forgotten about it. You're procrastinating. Here's the thing. For all of you engaging with us right now, I believe God has called you and I to something more this year. God has a next for you. Some of you have come into this year with a vision and a faith for what God is building into you and building for you and to build out of you. And some of us have started doing something with it. You know, some of us have built new practices into our spiritual life. Some of us have reached out for us. Some of us have been engaging God and engaging church. Some of you have actually engaging your neighbor in conversations about Jesus. But for some of us, well, for whatever reason, we're kind of doing nothing with what God has been calling us into. You've hit a stalemate. Maybe you've been procrastinating, but why? Maybe it's your fear of failure. You know, it's one of those things like, why start when I feel like I'm just gonna fail at it? Or maybe you did start earlier in the month and you're already not being able to keep that up. Maybe for you, you're procrastinating because you honestly don't really wanna work for it. You're just thinking, why can't, I mean, he's God. Can't he just like deliver this to me quickly? Or maybe you don't see it as important because you've not actually really experienced what it feels like to let God meddle into your schedule and do some real great transforming work in your life. Or maybe it just seems so overwhelming, like almost impossible. Could God really do that in my life? Like, I know he's saying something, but could I be that person? Could he be that kind of God? Could I expect that kind of transformation? It seems overwhelming. Or maybe, like so many of us, COVID has got you stuck, and I get it. It's so hard to move forward. Which one of those sound like you? You know, I am someone who honestly gets really overwhelmed easily by very large tasks and often lead to procrastination. Like when I finally decided to redo our flooring in our house, I stalled as much as I possibly could because I knew there were so many skills I didn't know and I knew that it was gonna make a huge mess. I didn't wanna get started. It literally took me 3 years to build up enough courage before I actually ripped out the carpet. It's been 2 years since and we're still without flooring. No, I'm kidding. I did end up finishing it, but you get it. Here's the problem, and I think we all understand it. You and I cannot expect growth in our spiritual life if we don't do something. Like the truth is that God is willing. He's not holding back. To be honest, we have the opportunity right now. We just happen to be our own worst enemy. There's a book in the Old Testament. It's called Ecclesiastes. And in chapter 11, verse 4, it says this: farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. Do you want to have the worst year ever? I can tell you how. Procrastinate on the things God is calling you into and calling you out of. Procrastinate. Just wait where you're at. Because here's the thing, who you are today is the best indicator of where and who you'll be in 2022 at this time if we refuse to start doing something different. And we know this. You're smart. You get it. And so we'll get started on it tomorrow or next Thursday. I don't know. It depends on the weather, right? But here's the hope, though. Even for procrastinators like me, maybe procrastinators for you, here's our hope. See, as you read the Bible, you begin to notice a really obvious trend. God seems to call people to overwhelming, larger than life promises. But as people responded in actionable faith, they started moving on those things, God was always faithful to fulfill his promise. Take a man named Abraham, for example. So when Abraham was 99 years old and childless, God promised that he would multiply him exceedingly. God then changed his name from Abram, meaning exalted father, to Abraham, which meant father of a multitude. And it says that Abraham believed and obeyed, and him and his elderly wife had offspring that became an entire nation. Now for you, maybe you're up in your wise years, you're thinking that would be a nightmare, but for Abraham and Sarah, this was an overwhelming promise that God fulfilled. Or take David, for example, this young shepherd boy, youngest of all the sons of his father, Jesse. He was called from the fields to be the righteous king over God's people, a shepherd to a king. He became the greatest king in the Old Testament, and even Jesus is called the great shepherd from the line of David. Young shepherd boy, almost forgotten about his father, to one of the greatest kings in the Old Testament. Then there's this guy named Noah, and I want to read you the story. It's found in Genesis chapter 6. Now God saw that the earth had become corrupt, was filled with violence. God observed all this corruption in the world, for everyone on earth was corrupt. So God said to Noah, I've decided to destroy all living creatures, for they've filled the earth with violence. Yes, I will wipe them out along with the earth. So build a large boat from cypress wood and waterproof it with tar, inside and out. Then construct decks and stalls throughout its interior. Make the boat 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Leave an 18-inch opening below the roof, all the way around the boat. Put the door on the side, build three decks in the boat, lower, middle, and upper. He continues, look, I'm about to cover the earth with a flood that will destroy every living thing that breathes. Everything on earth will die, but I'll confirm my covenant with you. So enter the boat, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring a pair of every kind of animal, a male and a female, into the boat with you and keep them alive during the flood. Pairs of every kind of bird and every kind of animal and every kind of small animal that scurries along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. Noah, build this humongous boat. I need you to keep all these animals alive, and the earth will never look the same again. And by the way, Noah was 500 years old at this point. Now, when you read the story, you think that Noah must have been some supernatural, somehow extra remarkable, a solid craftsman, or at least God somehow supernaturally, empowered him to accomplish this unbelievable task. Because right away, when you read this, you jump into the next chapter, and it says that, well, the boat was built, and the rain started to come in. In chapter 7, verse 1, it says this: when everything was ready, the Lord said to Noah, go into the boat with all your family. So you kind of move from this humongous task to immediately it's built. But there's actually a really important verse before this next one that is easy to miss, but we shouldn't, because it actually tells the whole story, and I think is the hope for those of us who have keep putting off our spiritual development. It says this, in Genesis chapter 6, 22, it says, so Noah did everything exactly as God had commanded him. Now, this is important for two reasons. The first is this: between this verse and the first verse of the next chapter, there was about 120 years. Yeah, you heard that right. It took Noah 120 years to build that seemingly impossible task. Between verse 22 and 7:1, 120 years. Now, the second reason why it's important is because it tells us how God accomplishes something so overwhelmingly large in our own lives, one piece at a time. See, whatever God is calling you to, you need to know He knows you're human. He knows that you get overwhelmed quickly. He knows that you fear failure, that maybe you've already failed multiple times. He knows that about you. He knows you can't seem to get your priorities right. He knows you've been running. He knows that it may even seem impossible that you could experience a transformation in your life that far exceeds your expectations. Listen, He knows it will require hard decisions. He knows about COVID. He knows. That's why for us procrastinators, the Bible is filled with stories that remind us that whatever God is calling or building into you or out of your life this year, we're going to see it happen one piece at a time, one small step at a time, one small move at a time, one day at a time. Now, I have a bit of a confession before we kind of continue. I played with Lego well into my teen years. Now, hear me out. So this was done in secret. Like, none of my friends even really know about this. But while my friends were playing sports, some Nintendo, or calling up girls with their high-pitched cracking voices, I was holed up in my room playing with Lego. No one knew. Now, I know what you're thinking. I must have been the coolest guy around. Not so much. But I couldn't help it. I loved getting a new set and seeing the potential of what was in this box, the creativity, the ability to partner with the designer to build something I couldn't hope to engineer myself. Learning new skills, adding to my collection of pieces, I loved playing with Lego. But here's the thing about Lego. You build it one piece at a time, right? One piece. You don't get a box of Lego and shake up the box and out comes a set. That wouldn't be fun. That's not the way they're designed. Just like you don't buy a dumbbell and wake up Pastor Ken. I mean, I know I tried a few times. You don't get a healthy relationship just because you want one. It takes two healthy people making really great, wise, healthy decisions that accumulates into a healthy marriage or healthy relationship. For those of you watching and engaging, and you're concerned because you know God's calling you to something, hear me out. You don't wake up a spiritual giant. No one's expecting you to. You build towards what God has for you, one piece, one step, one move, one day at a time. Now, why does this matter? It matters because you know what's not overwhelming, building something one piece at a time, right? So maybe you're engaging and you're dealing with addiction. And it seems like it's so much bigger than you. And it's so overwhelming. And I gotta remind you, one piece at a time. Maybe for you it means telling someone that you trust that you're really struggling. Maybe for you, it's about sharing your faith. And you're like, well, what if they ask me questions I don't know? Or my faith isn't that strong. Or maybe I got to be in this a little bit longer. And I'm telling you, one piece at a time. Maybe it's just getting to know your neighbor. Maybe for you, it's a spiritual discipline, like prayer or reading the Bible. And you're like, I tried and I just can't keep on it. And it just seems so big and you failed before. And let me remind you, one piece at a time. Maybe it just means setting aside 5 minutes in the morning for you. Or maybe you just feel yourself, you're like, I'm just on social media so much and I can see that it's affecting my mental health. It's affecting how I relate to my kids relating to me, or you're just on it way too much. And it just seems so hard because it's such a draw. And I got to tell you, one piece at a time. Maybe it just means setting an accountable turnoff time for you every day. Maybe it's following Jesus for the first time. You've been engaging and God has just kind of been like knocking at your soul. And you know he's calling you to follow him, but you're like, that'd be such a big change. One piece at a time. Maybe it means looking into our Alpha course. So just go on hopecity.ca/life. Honestly, it's a great place to start walking with Jesus. It's one piece at a time. Or maybe for you, it's coming back to Jesus. I got to tell you, I know it sounds hard, but it's one piece at a time. I don't know where you've been. I don't know why you've been running. But I do know this, God is calling you back. It's one piece at a time. And you're doing it, right? You're engaging right now. And I would say keep engaged, one piece at a time. See, the minute you do something, the minute I do something, that's when God begins to do something. And all it takes is one piece at a time. Now, maybe you're here and you're engaging and you're not at the starting line. You're kind of stuck in the middle. You got busy, you got discouraged. It seems to be like taking too long to see any fruit. Or maybe, like I said, you've walked away from what God wanted to do in your life. What if I told you you're in the company of a lot of many great faith giants? See, Noah himself, he faced an entire community who misunderstood him, who mocked him. Or you got Abraham, he faced doubt and he made a few notable mistakes. Or you get David, for example, he faced incredible loneliness. He made grave sins. He had incredible loss. And even Jesus was betrayed. See, at this point, all you're seeing is a half-built set. And it's hard to see where this is going. It's hard to keep going, to keep pushing, to keep believing. But let's go back to Lego for a moment. See, when my kids were three, I decided to buy them the most complex Lego set I possibly could find so that they struggled from a young age to experience any level of joy and satisfaction. No, that'd be crazy. You know what I did? I got them those like mega blocks, you know, the set. They only have like 10 in the set. They're huge and they're easy to work with. Why? Because it matched their age and it matched the maturity to help build their confidence and trust in the process. Now, as they got older, they would graduate to more complex sets. You know, it required more thinking. It required more work and especially a lot more time. And walking in obedience with Jesus over the long haul is actually a lot like that. See, when you're new to it, Jesus is kind of waiting for you to build trust and confidence in him in the little things that seem to take a lot less time. It seems a little bit easy. You know, when you begin to pray, you would hear God's voice or you'd see him answer. When you begin reading the Bible, you feel like you're getting so much life out of it. When you try to fast, it seems so much easier. Why? He wants you to build a confidence in him and faith in him. Why? Because you're new to the whole Jesus thing. But as you continue following him, he wants to take you deeper, to see you experience him in greater ways. He wants to trust you with more. And guess what? That requires more maturity. It requires more spiritual stamina. It is more complex, but it's because you aren't a child in the faith anymore. He's maturing you. It's almost like that guy who once said, you know, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. That guy was Jesus. See, he's not concerned with the former things in your life. He is doing something new in you. And it will feel and look different. Listen, it has to. So keep building one piece at a time. Maybe it means calling up a friend. When I was doing my flooring, I got to a certain point where, you know, we had to feather concrete feather things so that it kind of matched. I didn't know how to do that, so I called my friend Nick Evans, and he came over and he did it, and he left a little bit of concrete on my roof. And so, but he did it. He completed it. I needed help. Maybe you need a friend. You need to call someone and say, hey, I've hit this obstacle, this hurdle. Can you help me get over it? Or maybe you just need to renew the challenge to yourself. Or maybe you need a moment not to escape anymore, but to retreat into Jesus and hear him speak to you again, to renew his love for you, to hear that challenge again. You want to know how to have the worst year ever? Procrastinate. And I promise, you'll be the same person next year you are today. And it's no different in our spiritual life. But here's the thing, it doesn't have to be that way. God is not done with you ever. Whether you're facing opposition or hardship, whether you're in disobedience, uncertainty, and even for those of us who tend to procrastinate, God is not done with you. Now, here's the thing. It took Noah 120 years to see the fruits of his labor. 120 years, but I promise you, it's not gonna take you that long to see and be able to measure the difference God is making in your life. It won't take that long, but it just starts with one piece at a time. Now, I have something under here I wanted to show you. This is Joshua's newest Lego set. It took him about 8 hours to finish this, by the way. Pretty cool. You got Chewbacca in there, things that move, satellites that move, these little gunners that shoot the love of Jesus at people. You know, like, this is a pretty cool set. But see, it's funny because when they build it, my kids are in awe of the creativity and the design of their sets when they actually finish them. Some of them use electricity. Many have like hidden passageways. This one has a bit of a hidden passageway in it. Most of them are part of a larger collection, right? They often forget that all of this wonder was created for them. They didn't just get to have it. They got to be part of realizing the fullness of the creation because they built it one piece at a time, one boring piece at a time, one hard piece at a time, one frustrating piece at a time, but one piece at a time. This set was created for Joshua's joy. See, when God moves in you and challenges you to move into something he has next for you, God is inviting you into a plan he created for you. For you, God is inviting you into a plan he created, he fashioned, so that when you see the result of your obedience, you can experience what the engineer of creation fashioned for you specifically, for your good, for your joy, and for your life. Now, it may seem like one boring piece at a time, but I promise, it'll lead to something greater than you could have done without a great designer. Start building. For some of you, you need to keep building. One piece at a time, one day at a time, one moment at a time, one decision at a time. Before we finish, I want to remind you of the great questions we've been challenged with this past month that I think will actually help inform what your next step could look like. So the first question that Pastor Ken left us with is, what needs to change in your life so that God can begin making changes in your life? Or Pastor Phil, he asked this question, when it comes to your spiritual life, what story do you want to tell? What story do you want to be told about your life? Third question is this, who in your life who doesn't know Jesus needs you to be present, to be personal, and to point them to Jesus? And the last question that we heard last week is this, what is one decision you can make today that will bring you one step closer to godliness? These are great questions. So what does the first piece look like for you? Or maybe what does the next piece look like for you? Let me pray for you this morning. Jesus, I thank you. That God, you do promise and continue to work in our lives to do overwhelmingly incredible things, far beyond what we could hope or imagine, because you are the engineer of creation and you engineered and created us. God, you're always calling us into something more, to something greater. And it can seem so overwhelming, or maybe we've tried in the past and we don't know what it looks like, but I'm so thankful that you know who we are. You know where we struggle. You know our reality. And you call us to trust you just one piece at a time. Help us to be those people, to build and to trust, to be obedient, one step, one day, one moment, one decision, one piece at a time. Amen. Now, if you're engaging with us maybe the first time, or maybe you've been engaging with us for a little while, and you're kind of ready to make a decision to follow Jesus, well, guess what? We want to help you do that because we think following Jesus is the best decision anyone can make. Now, what's your first piece? What's your next step? It's this. Go to hopecity.ca/life. There you're going to find resources to help you start walking with Jesus, as well as an opportunity to let us know that you had made that decision. We want to know. We want to celebrate with you. See, we want to help you connect with Jesus. We want to help you connect with others, and we want to help you connect with us. Just so you know, we've actually been praying for you. But more than anything, God has been waiting to do something amazing in your life, one piece at a time. Thanks for engaging with us. We're praying for you. We love you, Hope City. We'll see you next week.